Two men, same nationality, lived in the same land, came from the same backgrounds, may have grown up in the same neighborhood, committed the same crime, had the same kind of trial, same sentence was passed on both of them. They were sentenced to the same execution. One man, as that execution was carried out, was bitter. He cursed those that crucified him. He cursed the crowd. He even cursed those that dying with him. He taunted the one on the cross next to him, the one that hung on the middle cross, said, "If you really are Christ, if you really are who you claim to be, then save yourself and save us." The other took a different tack. There was no bitterness in his heart. He listened as the thief on the third cross taunted the one on the middle cross. In fact, he defended him. We read about it here. He says, "Hey, don't you fear God? We're under the same condemnation. All three of us are, and we deserve it. The two of us deserve it. We've committed crimes that deserve this form of execution, but not this one. He's done nothing that would deserve something like this." He listened as the one on the center cross said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He listened as he ensured that his mother would be cared for. He saw the sign that they hung over the middle cross that said, "King of the Jews." And he watched that king die with dignity. He took a different slant than his friend down on the far cross. Instead of a taunt, instead of a jeer, he said this. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And in reply, he heard the sweetest words that a dirty old sinner can ever hear. "Today, today, you'll be with me in paradise." For over 2,000 years now, one is in heaven and the other in hell. Why? They were so similar. Same nationality, same country, probably maybe even came from the same neighborhood, committed the same crime, had the same trial, got the same sentence, suffered the same execution, the same hard time, the same problem, the same difficult situation. And the difference was when they came to that fork in the road. You see, life is not a straightaway. Life consists of forks in the road where we have to make a choice which fork we're going to go down. Well, when these two thieves came to that fork in the road, one decided to go this way and one decided to go the other way. One decided to be bitter. The other decided to see what was happening to him as an opportunity to find God. Same thing happens today. Our life is not a straightaway. Our life consists of forks in the road. I had a little kid go out of church this morning. He came back from junior church. He heard the announcements. I was going to be preaching about a fork in the road. And he said, "Preacher, is it a big fork in the road?" I said, "No, it's not a fork like this in the road. It's a fork like this in the road." But our life consists of forks in the road. Our life consists of decisions that we have to make. And I'm going to give you some examples tonight, real life examples. I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm going to give you examples, a couple of examples tonight of people that come from the same, that have the same background. They went to the same church. They lived the same kind of lives, and they came to a fork in the road. They came to a problem. They came to a hardship. They came to a heartache, and for some, they took the fork in the road that blamed God. And they said, "God, why did you let this happen to me?" And they became bitter. And they became grumpy. And they became grouchy, so grumpy and grouchy that nobody wants to have anything to do with them. And the other took the road that says, I'm going to trust God. God knows what he's doing. I don't know why he sent this into my life. I can't explain. And if I was God, I certainly would have sent this into my life. And if God had given me a choice, I would certainly never choose this. But even though I don't understand it, I'm not going to get mad at God. I'm not going to get bitter at God. I'm going to trust God. God knows what he's doing. And I'm going to use it as an opportunity to trust him more and grow closer to him. And as a result, they've grown sweeter. And their lives have been a testimony to what God can do. So, let me give you a couple of examples. Again, things that I've observed in my life as a pastor. Two young men with young families, both very active in church, both serving the Lord. One day, really close together, both of their wives decided that they didn't want to be married anymore, at least to these two young men. And so they decided to leave. One young man blames God. He gets bitter. He quits his Sunday school class. He quits coming to church. Even though he was still very, very young, he became an old, grouchy, grumpy man. So grouchy and grumpy that even his kids, who were teenagers at the time, didn't want anything to do with Dad. And I know that when your spouse leaves you, it's a heartache. I know it's a difficult time. And one said, well, it's God's fault. God let this happen in my life. I've been trying to serve him. I teach Sunday school. I go to church every time the door is open. I tithe. I read my Bible. He did all the five things that you're telling the young kids they need to do, Kelly. He did all those things. And he was faithful. And he was a good guy. But when this hardship came into his life, when this fork in the road came in his life, he says it's God's fault. If God really loved me, he wouldn't let this happen. If God really cared for me, he would have kept this from happening in my life. And he got mad at God and he got bitter at God and he decided to drop out of church and everything that was associated with it. Now, the other young man, again, very active in church, taught a Sunday school class, tithed, read his Bible, did all the things that we ought to do as Christians. And again, when his wife decided to leave him, instead of getting bitter, instead of getting mad at God, he said, I don't understand it. I can't explain it. I don't know why God would let this happen in my life, but I'm going to trust him. I'm not going to quit. He kept teaching his Sunday school class. In fact, he got more involved in the church than he was before. He asked for different things to do because he said, Pastor, I need to stay busy. I don't know why God has brought this into my life, but I want to trust him more. I want to lean on him more. Give me more to do. I gave him more to do. I gave him a lot to do. And I saw him grow in his faith. I saw him grow in the trust that he had for God. I saw him become a very strong Christian, a prayer warrior, a sweetheart that people love to be around. Let me give you another example. Two older men, very involved in church. They couldn't do everything that they used to do, but they did everything they could do. A health problem came into both of their lives. Not the same one, but a serious health problem came. And so they were able to do less and less of what they used to do. Again, they both came to that fork in the road. One blamed God. Said, I don't know why. You've heard people say this just like I have. I don't know why God allowed this come into my life. If he was really a God that cared, he would have kept this thing out of my life. And that's what this one of these men did. He blamed God. Blame God for his health. He dropped out of church and he dropped out of life. I'd visit him. Most of the rest of his life, he spent in a rocking chair, bitter, complaining about how God had treated him. The other older man, again, different health problem, but one just as serious. Again, that caused him not to be able to do much of what he'd done before. Accepted it as God's will for his life. still came to church as often as he could. He couldn't do the things that he used to do, but he prayed. He prayed, oh, how he prayed. I go over and visit him. I kneel down in front of his rocking chair. He put his hands on my head. I felt like he took us to the throne of grace. I felt God was standing there listening to every word. And so he prayed. He read his Bible. I go over there and he'd ask me a question. And most of the time I say, I know you already know the answer. You're just testing me. What is it? Tell me, because I'm going to have to go home and study. Just go ahead and give me the answer. And he'd give me the answer because he was testing me, wanted to keep me on my toes. Again, both of these men came to a fork in a road. They came to a hardship. They came to a heartache. And they had a choice to make. Which of these forks am I going to take? Which of these branches of the road am I going to take? Am I going to blame God and get bitter? Or am I going to trust God and use this to draw closer to Him? Now let me tell you, all of us have either been there, about to be there, or will be there one day. For my message tonight, I want to remind you of four things, four truths from the Word of God. Number one, everything that comes into our life was either sent by God or allowed by God. Everything. There is nothing that comes into a child of God's life that doesn't, that either isn't sent by Him directly or allowed by Him to come into our life. We know the story of Job. How Satan came to God one day and God said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? There's not a man like him on the earth. And Satan said, well, yeah, but that's because you put a hedge of protection around him. There's you've blessed him. There's nothing bad in his life. You remove that hedge of protection and let me test him a little bit, and you'll see what Job does. And God said, okay. Now again, Job hadn't done anything wrong. He hadn't committed any sin. I mean, even when his kids got together, he would have a special prayer meeting just in case they'd done something to dishonor God. He would pray for them. That's the kind of father that he was. And God took away that hedge of protection and Satan began to test him. And Satan took away his wealth and he took away his health and he killed his children. I mean, and again, Job was at that fork in the road. He could blame God for allowing this to come into his life, or he could trust God. And again, Job had three friends. I mean, they came to him. And again, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want friends like this. They said, hey, you must have done something wrong. Why don't you just confess your sin and maybe God will bless you again. God surely wouldn't treat anybody like this if they hadn't done something wrong. So just go ahead and tell him you're sorry, confess it, and he'll begin to bless you again. I want to tell you tonight, God may allow something hard to come into your life and you haven't done anything wrong. You're trying to serve him. I mean, you're being faithful. You're in the book and you're in prayer and you're doing everything that a Christian's supposed to do. And God takes off the protection and allows a hardship to come into your life. And again, you're at that fork in the road. Are you going to get mad at God? Are you going to get bitter? Or are you going to trust Him and believe that God knows what He's doing and has a purpose for what He's doing? Look, there's a verse in Psalms that says, and I won't quote it exactly because I didn't look it up. It just came to my mind. You know, sometimes God does that. He puts a scripture in my mind right in the middle of my preaching, George, and I wish you wouldn't do that so I could look it up and quote it right. But it says, without any changes, they fear not God. Without any changes that come into our life, we don't fear God. It's when the change comes into our life. It's when our world is turned upside down. It's when all the foundations are knocked out that God can be God to us. That's the times we learn to trust Him. Look, when we're living on the mountaintop and everything's going good and all the bills are paid and everybody's healthy in the family, we forget we need God. And so what does He do? He says, I'm going to show you how much you need me. And he doesn't do it because he's mad at us. He doesn't do it because he wants to punish us. He does it because he loves us. And he wants to draw us closer to him. And so he knocks all the foundations. He shakes the foundations of our life. He takes away all the things that we thought, this is settled. I'll never have to worry about this again. And he knocks those things away from us. And he says, I want you to trust me. I want you to depend on me. That's the conclusion that Job came through to. I mean, you go ahead and you read chapter 41. And Job says, I thought I knew what it was to trust God. I thought I knew that. But I didn't. But I know now. I know now. And so, number one, everything that comes into our lives, either sent by God or allowed by God to come. Number two, all things work together for good. May not be our good. I mean, I could tell you some things that are going on in people's lives right now that I can't see any way that good's going to come out of it for them. But that Romans 8:28 doesn't say all things work together for good for you. It says all things work together for good in God's plan. In God's plan. We have a lady in our church, and again, I won't mention any names. She's going through a real difficult time in her life. She calls me on the phone, and she says, Pastor, I just don't understand. I don't understand why God has allowed this to come into my life. And she said, three weeks ago, she said this to me, I have a tough time believing Romans 8:28 is true. And I told her, I said, well, what does that verse say? And she quoted it to me. And I said, do you notice that it doesn't say that all things work together for good for you? It just says that all things work together for good. She called me Friday. Patty was gone. But she called me Friday. And she said, my son, who I haven't talked to in over 3 years, came by today. And he said, Mom, I've heard what's happening in your life. And I want you to know that I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. And I won't tell you what he did. He said, I'm sorry for what I did and the break it caused in our relationship. And I want you to forgive me. Of course, she did. She called me and we had a good time on the phone. I said, what do you think of Romans 8:28 now? She said, Preacher, it's true. Didn't seem like it was good when it started. And maybe it wasn't good for me, but it was sure good for him. It was good for him. Number three, and I'll hurry, I know I'm out of time. All things that come into our life, either sent by God or allowed by him, all things work together for good. Number three, we get to decide whether we're going to make it good for ourselves and others. We get to make that choice. We at that fork in the road, we get to decide. We get to decide how we're going to react to that hardship. We get to decide how we're going to react to that heartache. We get to decide how we're going to react to that circumstance that God has either sent or allowed to come into our life. Are we going to get mad at him for letting it come? Or are we going to trust him and say, God knows what he's doing. He has a purpose for this, maybe not for me, but for somebody else. And he knows what he's doing. So I'm just going to trust him. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to let it, I'm going to let it cause me to lean on him more. And I'm just going to endure. I'm just going to stand. I may cry, I may weep, but I'm not getting mad at my God. Amen. Because he knows what he's doing. And then number four, quickly, through it all, I'm going to learn to trust him more. I'm going to use it as a learning opportunity. I'm going to use it to lean on him more. You know, those that sing for us sometimes sing that song, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. That ought to be our desire tonight. Again, all of us, sooner or later, will come to another one of those forks in the road. Something that's come into our life that we don't understand why God has allowed it or God has sent it. And again, if we could choose, we would not choose it. But we do get to choose how we react to it. We get to choose how we respond to it. We're either going to trust him more and become sweeter, or we're going to get bitter at God, and we're going to get mad at God, and we're going to become an old grouch that nobody wants to be around. We get to make the choice. We get to make the choice. Let's choose to trust him. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being such a good God to us all the time. Every moment, every day, there's not a time that you cease being a good God. And I know, Father, that you allow bad things, things that we would call bad, to come into our life. You either send them or you let them come. But Father, you always have a purpose. You always have a reason. Help us to remember that this world's not our home. You're getting us ready for our eternal home. And so if you have to send hardship and heartache, if you have to send hard times and heartbreak into our life, help us to make the choice to trust you more when they come. When they come. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, you've been working on them all this time. You've helped them see their sin. You've helped them see the penalty of that sin. You've helped them see the price that Jesus paid for their sin on Calvary. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd help them just now to understand that Jesus is the only hope they have to get that sin forgiven. Help them to come to him tonight. Just a minute, help them walk the aisle and have somebody take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Most of us tonight are Christians. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring enough about us to orchestrate our life and plan it. And Father, allow things or send things in our life that if we trust you, will make us more like Jesus. I pray you'd bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.